let me start it by introducing Tom McLaren to Upcoming Discs and welcoming you, and thank you for taking the time to come and talk with us.
I appreciate you guys taking time out as well.
Well, we got a chance to watch Fight Valley, so that's obviously what I want to talk to you about. And the first question, we share a little bit. It seems like you grew up in and was born around New Jersey. I'm from the other side of Philly in Reading, PA. Not now, but that's where I was born and raised. So we grew up with some of the same cultural elements, I think.
Yes.
So that makes me ask you the obvious question. I watch this movie. I see it takes place with these New Jersey locations and such. It looks like a lot of the cast probably comes from that area. If not, they're doing a great job of sounding like they come from the area. And I guess the big thing is you wrote the film as well as directed it. Did you base this on anything that might have been at one time going on in Jersey or is going on in Jersey? Was there some kind of research that brought you to this film, or is this totally something that you created?
You know, there's a whole bunch of elements that brought the story to life. One was, you know, when I was younger, I was a skateboarder, and I lived in Trenton, New Jersey for a while.
Okay.
And, you know, there was a lot of gangs around the neighborhood. There was a gang called the Pit Bulls back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had pretty much joined a gang when I was younger just so I had somebody to walk around with on the streets. And I had gotten into a lot of fights. It was like every time we were going out, there was fights and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I grew up in the era of the movie The Outsiders. And, you know, I kind of related to that movie a lot with my group of friends. And I really fell in love with the movie. And, you know, I didn't know that one day I was going to be doing films. I knew that I had always enjoyed it, you know, and really had a, you know, fascinated about being a filmmaker someday. But
sure,
when I did, you know, eventually venture into film about 12 years ago, I said, you know what, I want to try to reach out to, you know, Francis Coppola or S.C. Hinton and see if I can actually remake this movie. Because I had my own idea and twist I wanted to do. But, you know, as I'm researching, there's a lot of movies that have been done with men and gangs and stuff. So
sure,
the twist I wanted to put on it was, you know, well, I need a market of my own, so let me just redo it with females.
Right.
A lot of movies, they'll have the men in the cast, and then the females kind of float in and out. So I said, you know, this would be really cool just to have a gang movie with all girls, and that hasn't been done yet. So
mm-hmm. That's
kind of how, you know, Fight Valley evolved. With The Outsiders, you know, Pony Boy, and, you know, they would go out on the streets, they would run into the socias, and there would always be friction, and at the end there's the big fight.
Right.
And it's sort of how Fight Valley goes, you know, the knock-around girls every time they go out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go out and they run into what we call pigeons in Fight Valley. Like, girls that sit on the corners waiting for new people to walk down the street, they start a fight with them, and then they take them to stakes and gamble, and they make money off it. So, it's a lot to do with real life that I've been through, but a lot to do with The Outsiders, too, that really inspired it.
Sure. Now, what about the casting here? Did you cast primarily for the fighting skills and the physical abilities, or did you cast for the acting abilities?
Well, originally, my plan was to do a movie. The market behind it was going to be, this movie has real fighting. There's real hits,
uh-huh. Real
blood, real whatever, and, you know, I knew it was going to be tough to get people that would actually take these hits.
Yeah.
You know, to take an actor and say, listen, I really need you to get punched in the face was very difficult. So I wasn't really following the UFC at all. Somebody had said, listen, why don't you get some real fighters that do this for a living? They get paid to get punched in the face.
Right.
So I looked into the UFC a little bit, and I kept seeing this girl, Ronda Rousey, and I'm like, mm-hmm. All right, well, this is the girl I want, because obviously there's a market behind this woman.
Sure.
So I talked to Ronda's camp, and they seemed, you know, quite interested at first. We exchanged a few emails, and then she had beaten Kat Zingano that fight in the 14 seconds. And they just said, look, Rob, you know, the schedule's just not going to work. Ronda's, like, extremely busy right now, and she's all over the world. And
sure.
So while I was researching Ronda, these couple girls kept coming up. And I'm like, why does this girl Misha keep coming up? And why does this girl Cyborg keep coming up every time I type Ronda?
Mm-hmm.
So with a little research, it's like, wow, they got real friction between them.
Uh-huh.
And they seem to be the next top girl that I know are going to be fighting her for a title. So I said, these are the girls I want. And Cyborg, she just looks like a villain. She's the sweetest woman in the world. I love Cyborg to death.
Yeah.
I could hang out with her every day.
Sure.
But she has that look of a really tough woman. And I said, she's going to be my villain. And hopefully, if Misha accepts Misha will be the trainer, training Susie Selleck. And,
right.
And, you know, I got lucky and I got them both. So Holly came into the picture. One of my actresses, Cabrina Collins, had mentioned Holly Holmes and mm-hmm. looked her up. And Holly just looked dominant. And in the videos I was watching, and I said, this is the girl I need to fight Misha in the movie that can match her.
Right.
And it looked to me as if one day these three girls would meet each other and have to fight each other. And just it's just amazing how it all planned out. And they all met each other, and they're all fighting each other. So I casted them to take real hits.
Sure.
And, you know, I talked with Misha about it, and she was okay with it. I said, listen, I don't want you to hit her 100%, but even 40%, just give me the connection.
Right.
And then when we got on set, and my stunt choreographer, Eric Alday, he's like, no, you know, I'm not going to do this. He was really big on the safety. And,
right.
You know, so Misha's like, all right, Rob, so I'm not allowed to hit her. So it kind of confused Misha. So it was tough to take girls that are used to really, they're trained to really connect.
Right.
Tell them, look, you can't connect.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hit her.
Right.
And it was really tough. You know, but that's primarily, you know, why I casted them to begin with, because I wanted sure. girls to take real hits.
Now, what kind of work did you guys do to put together this choreography? Because I can see your situation here. You've got your real fighters who are used to taking the hits, and then you have some actors here who aren't about to take these hits. So you must have spent put them through some kind of regimen to get them used to each other, to get them sort of on the same page. How'd you do that?
Honestly, there was no time at all to actually have rehearsals or do anything like that. It was, and this was a big error on my part. You know, I only had Misha for X amount of time.
Right.
And I only had Holly and Cyborg for X amount of time. It was literally, Misha got off the plane, and I'm like, all right, we got to get blood on your face. You're getting in a fight. It was
right.
like they were thrown into the choreography.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish I had allocated more time and more budget to keeping them longer.
Yeah.
I would have gotten more out of my fight scenes, but I just said, look, guys, you know, we're going to have to run and gun this and just make that camera move. I want that camera shaking, you know, and hopefully the editor can pull this out. But we had very limited takes. I mean, it was 120 degrees. Everybody's feeling faint.
Yeah.
We're standing in the middle of a junkyard. It was brutal, but there was no training. It was kind of like, all right, we taught them and just said, go, action. You know, we just want mayhem, and we just ran around with the camera hoping we could grab something. It's not the proper way to do it, but I had...
Yeah.
The way I had scheduled the film was very poor, and, you know, and oh. I'll never make that mistake again. So,
well, we all learn, don't we? But and one
yeah.
of the things that helps to sell the film, I think, as well, is you take this down into some of the gritty streets of New Jersey. It's obvious from watching it that you're familiar with that area, because you really use the atmosphere of the area to help to
yeah.
bond the film, so to speak. But I also noticed that you did something that I find rare on a lower budget film and something like what you did. And I find you do some really nice, almost Hollywood style tracking shots, either from a helicopter or a crane or something.
Yeah.
How did you do that? How'd you get that in on your budget?
Well, we had a drone guy. The guy's really, really exceptional with the drone. So we pretty
yeah.
much, on days that we were shooting, we would send him out. Just to do some drone shots. I told him what I needed. When Holly and Misha were in the octagon fighting,
yeah.
we ran into a lot of lighting issues in there, because we didn't have the crane over top of the octagon. We actually shot that all with a drone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a really decent camera setup on the drone.
It was.
But filming a movie for this guy, this was new to him doing movies. He did a lot of, I believe he was doing commercials and real estate work and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
But he was real exceptional with his ability to fly that thing in close quarters and stuff. But when it came down to editing and matching it up with the red cameras, it just became, you know, kind of difficult.
Sure. But I was still impressed with them, though. It struck me as unexpected, especially since you kind of start the film with these tracking shots. And I have to say, it kind of got me out of the low-budget mindset almost immediately.
Yes.
I think it effectively does that, because it's just not something you expect to see in that kind of film.
Right. Yeah, the drone does an amazing job. I mean, I know in the beginning there's some motorcycle shots. We had him following him down the
mm-hmm.
street. And, it definitely gives it a more Hollywood appeal, which is kind of what I'm looking for the beginning.
Sure.
And a lot of independent films don't really utilize those drones too much.
Exactly.
They do. They really don't have the cameras set up on them. But we had good gear on this drone. So.
Well, and that's the thing too. It's smoother. I've seen drone shots before, and they tend to not be quite so smooth. I
yeah.
guess it's the guy operating the drone too has to really know what he's doing, because they're not easy to fly right.
Right, yeah, they're definitely not. I owned one literally for 15 minutes. I spent $1,200 on it. I flew it up in the sky, and the thing took off of me and landed in the middle of the highway. It's 15 minutes, $1,200 gone.
Yeah. Well, that's. I noticed also at the end of the film, there's quite a few dedications for you yourself, for your father, mother, and a brother. Can you tell us what's up with that?
Yeah, I had a tough, just a couple months ago. I lost a lot of family members back to back. My mother had died of cancer. Mm. My father, he had a brain tumor. They operated on him, and he had a stroke while he was under anesthesia. He woke up completely paralyzed, and he was put in a nursing home. And life just got the best of him from just being there all the time. And he just slowly, I saw it coming. I knew it was coming, right. But you never prepared for it. And so he had passed. And then right after that, my brother was coming home from the library, and somebody was driving a U-Haul truck drunk, and they ran right through his car and killed him instantly. And 2 weeks after that, it was my grandmother and my uncle. Oh. It was like death after death after death.
That's a lot of tragedy for one person in a short amount of time.
Oh, and man, I can't even express to you how rough it's been, but,
I won't even pretend to understand, because that's just, I've never been through anything like that. So it must make it difficult to continue to do what you're doing, but I'm assuming maybe you get some kind of inspiration to do that.
Yeah. My family always knew that I had a thing for the arts. Since I was little, I always wanted to just, and it even started with Legos, to imagine something and build it and see it come to life. And it evolved from Legos to music to shooting films, and I'm still not there yet, but, Play Valley, could have it been better? Absolutely. It's very poor scheduling on my part. Yeah. But Fight Valley 2, I can assure you, is going to be something that's going to be amazing.
And I saw that's already announced here. So tell me about Fight Valley 2 coming out. What's going to happen here? What are we going to see?
Well, Fight Valley 2, basically, Misha Tate, her character, Jabs, at the end of Fight Valley 1, it's declared that she had something to do with hiding Tori's body.
Right.
She's on the run. She's on the run from the authorities. Sneaks and Gamble, their whole fight ring gets raided. They all go to prison for murder, accomplice to murder.
Whoa.
While they're in prison now, they run into a gang of, skinheads and Nazis and stuff. And, they get caught up in an underground fight inside of the prison, which the guards are in on. They have a grudge against Sneaks and Gamble for running female fights. They think that they're not real tough guys because they were dealing with females and not men.
Right.
But on the other side of the prison, you have females where Jabs' sister, which is, announced in part two, she had a sister that has been incarcerated for possession of drugs and intent to distribute. She's over there. Now, on that side, there's another girl like Cyborg who is the champ of the fight club in this prison.
Yeah.
And everyone's saying that Jabs is the girl that could beat her. So this girl is putting pressure on Misha's sister, saying, listen, if your sister doesn't turn herself in, then you're going to fight me and I'm going to kill you, and you have till Friday, basically. So the call goes out to the, the girl calls home for help, and Duke and the knockaround girls say, we got to find a way to get inside this prison, for Misha, because she protected us growing up. We got to beat her for her sister. So ultimately they go out and commit this crime, almost like Prison Break, so that they can be sent inside the prison and join in the fight and save Misha's sister.
Sure. Are most of the cast going to return for this?
No, some of the knockaround girls will be back. Chelsea Dirklick, who played Tori in part one, she's dead, but she will be back in flashback scenes in this.
Okay.
I'd love to bring Susie Selleck in, for a couple of scenes, but we are trying to get some new UFC fighters right now.
Okay.
I just reached out to Juliana Pena. Paige Van Zandt. I'm trying to get a couple of new, fresh people in this one. And we're going to reach into the male UFC fighters this time and see if anybody wants to come aboard. It'll be a much better production. I've learned a lot. The fight scenes are going to be a lot more accurate, better scheduling.
And for production, are you intending to actually build these sets, or are you going to go into some kind of an old prison or something and try to film?
No, we're going to shoot in Holmesburg State Prison in Pennsylvania.
Cool, I know where it is.
Yeah, it's almost like Eastern State. It's right down the corner.
Yeah.
Half of it is new. They shot Law Abiding Citizen over there and a couple other movies.
Okay.
Half of the prison is modern, and half of it's like an Alcatraz type of place. But I've already did a tour over there with the warden.
Mm-hmm.
He walked me through. We got the permission to shoot there.
Well, that's fantastic. So, what else is on your radar besides finishing up the fight Valley Story?
I have a ton of movies. You know, I've always been a fan of fighter jets. I am going to do a Top Gun type of movie, but that's way out of my league right now. That's, like, in the radar for next year.
Great.
Right now I'm learning animation, how to put these people in the fighter jets. I wanted to do a Top Gun with, like, you know, the female fighter pilots.
Sure.
I mean, so I'm trying to get rights to Iron Eagle right now. If you remember the Iron Eagle jet movie.
I do, yeah.
And I have another movie coming up. There's a movie called Worthless.
Mm-hmm.
Which pretty much focuses on the bullying topic or whatever.
Right.
There's a couple different projects, you know, that are in the works, but Fight Valley 2 is definitely something I want to get out while it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And show everybody, you know, not that you know, Fight Valley 1, I really don't want to bash it too much, you know.
Of course not.
The film's very dear to my heart, but Fight Valley 2 is going to be overall much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned a lot, so.
So when can we see? When can we look for that?
I'm going to start shooting it in November. I'm casting now.
Okay.
I'd like to start shooting in November, and then, you know, I don't know if Breaking Glass is going to want to run with part two. I'm sure somebody will pick it up. So I would expect, let's see, we wrap in November, edit in December, January. I would expect it to be like March or April of the, you know, following spring.
Well, we'll definitely look for it, and Fight Valley is, when is that going to start streaming here now?
It's out now. Today's the first day.
Okay. I think
the 22nd. Right now. Huh?
Yeah, the 20. So I was just looking at the Tampa date here. I'm in Tampa, and it's opening on the 22nd. That's today. You're right. So it opens today on the 22nd.
Yeah. Yeah.
In some theaters. And do you have anything on the home video release possibilities or?
The home video is out now too. It's on everybody's TV. As long as you have on demand or DirecTV or Dish Network, I think it's on all of them and every TV in the world right now.
All right, so our audience can find a lot of different ways to go out there and find the movie and then look forward to the next one, the beginning of next year.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for sharing your time with us. Thank you for sharing Fight Valley with me, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate your time as well.